Perspective. How the hell you doing tonight, ladies and gentlemen? White Power Friday. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're surviving out there in this dangerous world that we're living in, right, folks? White fucking power. Booyah. How you doing in the chat room over there? I can see y'all pretty damn well here on my big giant screen TV that I got. I'm looking at right now. You can't see it. You don't have the privilege to see it. I just picked this bad boy up today. I'm always upgrading, you know, folks? I'm always upgrading the gear, the content. I'm getting better. Appreciate y'all in the chat room there. If you want to send me a super chat, check the description box there. The one in the middle, your chat will pop up on the screen if you so wish for that to be. Check me out at gab.com/Martinez Perspective. I'm on there, folks. Of course, my website, martinezperspective.net. You can sign up there, get all of my streams, video, audio formats, plug your email into there, and it should arrive in your inbox, boy. All right, we're having a little White Power Friday stream, folks. What are we gonna be covering tonight? It's always the same news, man. There's not much I can do about it. There's just one story. It is this Ukraine-Russia war. This is the big news. It's always going to be the big news until that thing is over, man. I really don't want to cover it every single stream, but a lot of people are sending me stuff, sending me articles, and I'm looking at them. And, well, this is a talk show, so I gotta talk, right? I gotta talk if it's a talk show. So what do we got? Well, let's do some memes. Let's check out the damn memes here first, as we always get started here. Some customary memes. This clip right here is Q-tards. Says the new Q-tard LARP is worshipping Putin and Xi. All the same grifters that pushed Q and Trump are now saying Putin and Xi will stop the deep state. Yes.
good idea what's going on in Ukraine. When they went into Ukraine, they found these labs.
They
believe that maybe that the deep state.
The deep state?
Possibly going to use a bioweapon on Russians.
Bioweapon on Russians?
Just like they were collecting our DNA in China. They've been collecting their DNA as well.
Oh, so it's a, Trump it's and a Putin big right conspiracy. Now
are the only ones successfully fighting against the deep state.
Well, I think as well as cheat.
They've really taken this LARP to a new level, folks. They've gone all in. So now it's Putin and Russia are like the big victims of the deep state, right? It's funny how like inverted the narrative has become on that side. So Russia invades Ukraine and starts bombing the place, but it's only because, you know, they were going to use birds to send bioweapons into Russia. They're going to infect little penguins to fly into Russia and carry with them the bioweapons, even though Ukrainians have Slavic people from Ukraine and Russia have the same, more or less the same gene. So wouldn't a gene-based bioweapon affect both of them equally, right?
Xi Jinping is fighting against the...
He's a good guy.
Oh, he's fighting against the...
Why? Because think about it. He's not part of the CCP.
Xi Jinping.
It's crazy how they do this, because you have all these grifter types like Steve Bannon and Breitbart, and they're all anti-China and anti-CCP, and Trump is anti-China and is harping about China all the time. But they've somehow spun the narrative that Xi is good and he's part of the good cabal, the white hats now, and he's secretly not part of the CCP. This is fucking delusional nonsense.
Think he's working with Putin and Trump against the deep state?
I think he probably is, yeah. Probably. I've heard that. Yeah. I mean, I've heard
Xi Jinping is working against the deep state.
Modi in India. Yeah, I've heard that.
Xi Jinping, Modi. Indians. Donald Trump are all working against the deep state.
Right, and then you've got the White Hat Alliance, which is a lot of countries, you know, Canada, France.
He is part of the good guys. The reason I think that is because he's fixing to go into Taiwan. You wait and see what I tell you. When he gets into Taiwan, guess what he's going to find? More labs.
More bio labs.
That is all planned out, y'all. It's all planned. This is one big sting operation. That's what I believe.
Yeah. So Xi Jinping, Putin, and Trump are the only ones fighting against the deep state and making sure that there are no bioweapons to
be released. That's right. Because if they do not stop them, they will release them. And next time, it'll be far worse than any fake coronavirus.
Wow.
This is such fucking insanity, these people, man. They are really tripping on it. They're smoking that crack pipe, folks. That Q-tard crack pipe. Fucking G. Listen to how stupid this is. So these are people who believe that coronavirus is made up, right? It was cooked up in a lab. And which lab was that? Well, it's fucking Wuhan. So how is Xi good then? I thought, so if China is the one that worked with Dr. Fauci to create this coronavirus and unleash it, how is then Xi Jinping not totally like incriminated in that? Wouldn't China be in on that? And Russia went along with the coronavirus and made vaccines, did lockdowns, was given talks at the WEF. Trump went along with it. Trump went along with the fucking corona hoax for a while. Trump was pushing Operation Warp Speed vaccines, right? So how, see, when these people use the term deep state, like, it's just become a euphemism for the Democrats, right? It's just the Democrats. The deep state is the Democrats. When actually, no, it's beyond the political parties, right? If there's such a thing as the deep state, that would refer to like embedded, like national security officials, like people like Henry Kissinger, maybe like Zbigniew Brzezinski, or these like staple foreign policy people, or these staple security state people. That's what maybe you can call a deep state. But these people just use it as a euphemism for Democrats. It's the, you know, Biden. Biden, it's just this stupid football game, as if, like, you know, like the Republicans are the good white hats and the Democrats are the bad black hats. And then they work in these foreign leaders into this white hats, black hats narrative. You know, copium. Yeah, ultra copium 4D chess. And it's the same with the Putin worship. Fucking clownery. The conspiratory thing has gotten out of control because of the social media. It's like, there are real conspiracies, and conspiracies have happened, but now it's just like these people just say everything's a conspiracy, everything's crisis actors, everything's a hoax, nothing is real, everything on television is fake. We just take the opposite position of whatever CNN says. If CNN says the sky is blue, then it is not blue, right? Or if Biden says, you know, that the grass is green, then it's not green, folks. It's a little nigga over here. Trying to put on a little...
What's he doing
with that there? What you can't even get his... What's he doing there, boy? Monkey boy?
I think I'm going to change his name to Mario Bibatelli. What is he doing? He can't get his...
Mario Balotelli. Can't get that thing on him, can he?
He gets support now. Well, you need a bit of assistance sometimes. This is a set piece.
Is this tonight?
It's
this
warming.
Is now.
He's warming up for the game.
He can't put his bib on.
What a complete fool. Are we talking 80 IQ? We're talking 70 IQ there, Goyim? Here's a little Nicky boy. Little Nicky boy saying that... Yeah. The war in Ukraine is actually good because it provides him with content. It provides him with something to talk about. It's a gift to the show, folks. Those dead Ukrainians, the more dead Ukrainians, the better it is for his show and his ratings.
Ongoing war in Ukraine, covering it again. This story never really gets old to me, I have to tell you. COVID got old really quickly. I got old after like 3 days. And the vax mandate, that got pretty stale, but I'm really just enjoying every single day. Every day the war goes on is a gift to the show. So tonight our featured story is about Zelensky, who appears to be capitulating. And today Zelensky said that it appears unlikely that Ukraine will ever join NATO. I'm actually glad it took him this long to figure out, because, you know, a humanitarian might say something like, gee, I wish Zelensky figured out that Ukraine wouldn't join NATO before all these people got killed for no reason. But here on the show, I have to say I'm actually quite glad that he did not reach that realization sooner, because otherwise we just simply wouldn't have as much fun with this as we've been having. So,
yeah, we're just having fun here, man. We're just making a joke out of the whole thing. We're just using it for content and clicks, ladies and gentlemen. We don't give a damn about them Ukrainians. Them white people getting killed. We don't care. We love it. We want more. We want them to grind it up. Crank up the heat. Because then we can talk about it. Then we can run our mouths. Then we can use it for content, for clickbait. We need to get back that $500,000 that was taken from the FBI. Right? We need to make up for that. So we need more stuff going on. More big news events that we can talk about and exploit for the money, for the cash. That's the grifter mentality 100%, isn't it? All of them are doing that. All of them are using it. There's a clip of when that Waukesha thing happened, when those... That Negro, that crazy Negro ran over some white people in Waukesha. And like some of these groypers were making fun of it, laughing about it, saying they deserved it. Like they don't give a shit, man. They don't care about white people. At least not the the leading podcasters there. What they care about is your shekels. What they care about is your super chats. They'll throw you some red meat. They'll throw you some dog whistles to get you to send in a super chat to ask him a question, right? But when it comes down to it in the real world, do they really show any serious concern for white lives? Not at all. They're cheering for more dead whites, more deaths. You got this thing. I support the opposite of the current thing. There was a meme that says, I support the current thing, and had like the Ukraine flag and all that. And of course, there are the customary virtue signalers who just jump on anything that's popular in the media. It was similar with the BLM shit. They're doing, these libtards are kind of doing the same thing with the Ukraine. But then on the flip end of that, you just have these tards who do the opposite of that, right? So like whatever they think is the trendy thing, they just take the opposite position of that and shill that side, which is just as NPC like, right? There's no real analysis, no real nuance. It's just whatever is the opposite of the mainstream press, that's the position I'm taking, man. That's pretty much what these grifters. They've even said this, right? They've even come out and said, this is what we're doing. It's just because Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden support this thing, so we support the opposite of that. What do we got? Oh, there's this thing. Oh, fuck's sakes. Dave Rubin, Mr. Jew Boy extraordinaire. He's got a baby on the way. These faggots. Look how they just LARP as if they're a real couple. Like they're a real family. They're really having a baby. Here's the ultrasounds. It's someone else's womb there. That's a woman's womb. That's not your fucking baby. That's a baby you're going to kidnap, you faggots. Look at these losers, total degenerates. Showboating it on social media for the clicks, for the likes. Of course, this should be illegal, Mr. Dave Rubin. This guy, he was on the Young Turks. He was a progressive leftist. Homosexual Jew. And then he broke with them. He broke with the Young Turks. And the reason he broke with the Young Turks was because he got pissed off that they kept covering Palestine and Israel conflict with a pro-Palestinian bent to it, a pro-Palestinian slant. And he's a Jew, and he's a Zionist Jew, and he's an ethnocentric Jew. And he didn't like that. He wanted them to be more pro-Israel, right? And so he left TYT, he set up his own show, and then he just used it as a platform for, as a soapbox for all these kosher, conservative grifters, these Jews, Jewish conservatives, just basically a bunch of Jewish conservatives, right? And the Jewish conservatives, like Ben Shapiro and whoever else, what's his name, Dennis Prager, the ultimate gatekeepers, right? The Jewish conservatives. Like, they might have a couple of the social issues on point, but, you know, total failures and gatekeepers when it comes to the big issues, the big points, like white demographics, white genocide, you know, the JQ, all of that stuff has to be hidden, suppressed by these people. They have to keep their hold on power. Here's a slut.
When you try to capture the glute pump, but instead you capture an unwarranted stare from a male who...
This should be illegal, folks. These women in gyms are dressed like whores. Their ass, like the tightest possible leggings, that showing right up their ass crack. Every little curve on her body, you know, low cut top, looking at herself in the mirror, taking selfies in the mirror. This is a narcissistic harlot. And then she's trying to shame some guy who glanced over for 2 seconds. These sluts. Yeah, this is why gyms should be gender segregated 100%. These women are a distraction. They're trying to get attention from you. They want you to look, but then they don't want you to look. Like, they're fucking schizoid, right? They're dressing like that so that you stare at them, so that you look at them, so that you lust for them. They want that dopamine hit. They want to be desired. They want to be, you know, pined for. But then at the same time, they will shut you down if you try to talk to them, you know. They'll act like a bitch. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want it both ways. They want the attention, but they don't want you to bother them at the same time. They don't want you to look and stare, yet they've basically forced you to do so. They stick their ass in your goddamn face. They should be banished. Banish the e-thoughts. Banish the gym thoughts. To the fucking kitchen with you. Gender segregation, folks. Yeah. I mean, every time I go to the gym, I see them. They're doing the same shit every fucking time. You know, dude, it's unbelievable. It's unreal how scantily clad they are in that gym. Shouldn't be allowed, man. Wouldn't be allowed in my country. In a country run by me, these gymathons will be banished from the town. They will be shamed. What a disgrace. See, this is... You can't go for those women. The women you go for, the women you should be interested in, are the ones who dress properly. The ones who dress modestly. See, that is a telltale sign of her character. Tattoos, tight clothes, that's a slut tell, or that's a harlot tell, or that is a bitch tell. 100%. If she's dressed like a hoe, if she's pining for attention in the public, if she's caking on the makeup, she's a cunt. She will be a nightmare. She will give you headaches and nightmares. Right? They're so used to that attention. They get so much of the attention, not only in public, but on social media. They are swimming in it. They're bathing in it. And so you're a nobody. I mean, they're used to getting hit on all the time. And so it's just nothing special when it happens. I mean, imagine trying to compete with all these fucking betas and simps going after that, right? That's the problem. Well, a couple stories I wanted to run through here. An American man was killed in Ukraine. He was gunned down while in line for bread, says his sister. Killed in northern Ukraine by Russian attack. He was trying to find food for his sick partner, his family members told media outlets. He was waiting in line for bread with several other people. His body was found on the street by local police. Ukrainian officials reported 10 people were killed Wednesday while standing in line for bread in Chernihiv. Well, that's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. But no, it's all fake. It's all fake, folks. It's all crisis actors, right? The Q-tards tell us it's all fake, right? You know, there are no deaths over there. The war is not even happening, man. Of course, they bombed a hospital, and all the Q-tards and the Putin-tards are saying it's staged, it's fake, it's not real. It's all crisis actors. Russian officials and conspiracy theorists promoting a baseless claim that the March 9 bombing of a maternity hospital in Ukrainian city of Mariupol was not real. The airstrike killed 3, including a child, left 17 wounded. The Kiev regime's bogus claim that the Russian missile hit a maternity hospital. They claim the pregnant woman was a crisis actor who is paid to play a victim. Then it says here, yeah, they try to claim she's an actor because she's a beauty blogger. Other social media user says the maternity hospital functioned as an outpost of the Azov Battalion. They're literally using the Azov Battalion as like this catch-all boogeyman. I'm going to show you a story from China recently where China is now claiming that the Azov Battalion is linked to their own domestic opponents. So it says the attack on the hospital was verified by the WHO surveillance system for attacks on healthcare and the United Nations High Commission for Human Rights. But of course, like the conspiratorial crisis actor types will just dismiss any organization like that, right? Unless they can go there personally and see it with their own eyes, then they'll just say it's fake. Ukrainian president shared footage of the damage to Telegram. Mariupol City Council shared footage on the messaging app. Journalists with the Associated Press documented the aftermath, witnessed the damage, capturing footage of the pregnant woman fleeing. Published before and after satellite photos. Yeah, none of that would convince a hardened skeptic, right? They'll just say, oh, well, it's mainstream media. It's all fake. This is all stage, man. Says the narrative gained traction after the Russian embassy in London compared a photo of the woman fleeing to one of a woman being carried away on a stretcher. The embassy claimed to tweet that she played roles of both pregnant women, but the image of a woman on the stretcher was a different person. Yeah, they did this shit with, I remember they were doing this stuff with Syria. Like the pro Assad, pro Putin, GIMPs and the alternative media, they would do the same thing. Anytime like Russia or Assad was accused of a bombing of civilians, these, you know, internet sleuths would come in and be like, well, look, this person, this is actually a crisis actor. Look, that this person looks like this person, and this little girl looks like this little girl. And it's all just like very vague, like unprofessional garbage speculation. Like they had no evidence most of the time. Like it's possible. Like the thing is, like, crisis actors can be used, and it's totally possible that both sides might engage in this kind of thing. But it's funny that they think like only Ukraine can do this. It's like I've showed clips of how Russia used an actor to claim that that the Ukrainian army crucified a baby. This was back in 2014. They had a woman get on television and say that the Ukrainian army crucified a small child in public. And then journalists went to the city and asked around and nobody witnessed it. Like, it was fake. But they never bring that up, right? If Russia's implicated, they never say that. They just speculate about this. There's no evidence the hospital was a non-operational facility used by Azov fighters for military purposes, as Russian officials claim. The Russian embassy in Israel tweeted an image of a military tank in front of a building to claim the hospital is occupied by the Azov Battalion. However, researchers at Bellingcat found the photo was captured more than 6 miles away from the hospital. Yeah, see, this is the fog of war. The Russians will just put out whatever disinfo that they can to deflect from the thing, right? Deflect from their responsibility. This woman was identified. They know her name and everything. She did give birth to a child later. this, I saw this tweet by Pepe Escobar. Pepe Escobar is one of these Eurasianist, Duganist journalists. I remember this guy. So you look at his thing there, it says Eurasia-wide nomad geopolitical analyst. And so he's one of these people. He's for years, for like 20, 30 years, this guy has been shilling like Eurasianism and shilling for BRICS, for like the East. Like his main beef is just with the West or the Western world or NATO or the U.S., right? He's one of these types who wants to see this Islamo-Eurasianist empire as some kind of alternative, right? And he says, Ukrainian neo-Nazis hiding in schools in Mariupol. Release the Chechens. Release the Chechens. See, this is the savagery you get from these people. They want white blood, don't they? They lust for that white blood. Pepe Escobar, this fucking little dindu mutt boy from South America. It's always the case, isn't it? These Dugantars and Eurasianists, they're always like mixed race people. They're always mutts. They're always like half Arab or half Chechen or some weird mix of shit. And so this is the side that they will show for, because they have resentment towards white people and they project onto white people everything our governments do or have ever done, you know, and blame all of us for it, blame the common white man for it. Even though all these governments that this asshole shills for are no better in any way, shape, or form. And of course, this is fake. This was not outside of a school. It says the location... the location was 6 miles away or something like that. Yeah, I mean, how easy to, like, just post a picture like this, no context, you can't prove anything about these buildings, and then the guy's like, oh, look! This is the fucking guy. There he is. There's the mutt boy himself. All his tweets just speaks to this whole thing, right? Xi Jinping had to explain crash test dummy's earpiece. The U.S. and NATO should establish a dialogue with Russia and take into account his concerns. Like, this guy has been a China shill forever. It says RT and Sputnik. For the record, I'm an old school pro, a foreign correspondent for 37 years now. I wrote a weekly column for Russia Today for years, and I had the top-rated weekly column on Sputnik International from 2015 to 2017. They never interfered with my writing. Yeah, I'm sure they didn't, because you're just writing their fucking propaganda for them. You're working directly for the Russian government. He's working for Russian government media. And then he claims he's impartial. It's like everything he posts and promotes is just... you know, these Eastern powers. He's going... all of them are doing this. All of them are going with the, you know, kill a Nazi, punch a Nazi on Ukraine. Like, exterminating Ukrainians is justified because of the Azov battalion. This is literally their talking points now. This is the official line. They're all just war propagandists. The intra-BRICS Russia-India deal concerns 3.5 million barrels of oil, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's just a shill for BRICS, this guy. Total non-white LARPer. He links to a thing, Eurasia and multipolarity. Dugan's just in your head, though, man. He doesn't exist. There's nobody that follows Duganist ideas, right? Eurasia. Yeah, the Kalergi mutt race of the future, right? Yeah, this is what they do every time. It's, you know, it's point to some U.S. war. I mean, you could do this all day long for anything, right? It's like, objectively, yes, the U.S. has done more foreign policy damage than Russia has over the past 30 years, because Russia was basically inoperable for the past, from 1991 to like 2005, Russia was out of the picture. They were kind of in the dumps after the Soviet Union collapsed. It took a while for Putin to build it all back up. And now that it's built back up, I mean, we're seeing some of the effects, some of the moves that he's making to become a power again, right? Become a player. And this is what they want to see. Like, it's just like they just don't want the U.S. to be doing it, right? So if the U.S. invades a country, they condemn it. But if Russia does it, they will support it, and no matter what, right? Like, they can make all these excuses about NATO expansion and do all this shit. But let's say tomorrow that Russia invaded like a Middle Eastern country or an African country and started bombing it. They would just trot out the excuses and justifications for that. You really think they're going to not support anything these countries do? They'll support everything these governments do, no matter what. No matter what. This is a tie-in for all these Dugantards and Eurasianists. It's called the New Horizon Conference. Established in 2012, the Iranian New Horizon Conference has brought together far right as well as self-proclaimed leftist activists on an anti-Israel platform. Among them, Alexander Dugin and other known red-brown astroturfers from all over the world. Pepe Escobar, Thierry Messon, Caleb Maupin, Tobias Fennig, turn out to be red-brown activists with more than a questionable track record. For example, Maupin, a former Occupy Wall Street activist who had turned into a Duganist, is pledging for a left nationalist populism. The German Fennig runs a pseudo-anti-fascist organization, Anti-Imperialist Action, which aims to team up with proponents of the radical far-right and far-left, particularly in Russia, Europe, and Donbass. When it comes to far-right participants, they're notorious fascist neo-Nazis, the Italian Nazi Maoist, Claudio Muti, Manuel Ossenreiter, who currently stands accused of being involved in a false flag arson attack in Ukraine, the Polish Mateusz Piskorski, founder of the Third Positionist Party Zimani, currently not able to leave his home because of alleged contacts to Russian intelligence. What brings them together is a sympathy for Alexander Dugin and Russian fascism, third positionism, national Bolshevism, or neo-Eurasianism. Yeah. So yeah, this is it. These freak, weirdo LARPers, they all go to Iran. This is the picture here. Red Brown Islamo Mutt Alliance. There's that Pepe Escobar guy who was cheering on the Chechens. There he is. Who's that, folks? Mr. Dugin. There he is. He's the kingpin. He's in the center of it all. He's in the thick of it all. If you look at this picture here, this was one of their meetings. You got, this is the little mutt Iranian who runs it. I remember when I used to write for Press TV, this little mutt here, this little guy, he actually invited me to this conference. Right? They just try to get anyone in the West that's sympathetic to like anti-Zionism and left-wing. You know, it's just a coalition of basically left-wing anti-Zionists and some pseudo-right-wing anti-Zionists. And basically, they just get them to shill for these Islamic countries and Islamic imperialism. Ken O'Keefe right there, race mixer. He married a Palestinian woman, became a human shield for Palestinians. Typical Rachel Corrie, bleeding heart type, right? There's the Pepe Escobar guy. There's Caleb Maupin right there. There he is. Then we got Anthony Hall. This guy was, I fucking met this guy right here. He's a Canadian. I know him because a friend of mine named Joshua Blakeney used to be in this scene. He used to work for Press TV too, and that's how I got hooked in with them, was through Josh. And he was like a communist living in Canada, but he was pretty good on like the 9/11 issue and Zionism and stuff. So I, back when I had my first website, I wrote an article critiquing him and this guy who was his professor, Anthony Hall, because of their lefty, kind of lefty takes on things, or lefty anti-Zionism. They weren't going the full way. They weren't going the full way on the JQ. They were dodging their race question. They were pushing kind of a left-wing anti-Zionism. And this guy was writing books, basically like anti-white type books, glorifying the Indians and, you know, the usual white guilt stuff. And he's cooked in with Kevin Barrett. Kevin Barrett, this Muslim race mixing white convert to Islam who just shills for Muslims all day. Yeah, this is it. This is the Negroid Islamo Eurasian coalition, man. A bunch of blacks, browns. This is what you get, man. Am I wrong to call it that? That's exactly what it is. It's like self-hating white people. Bunch of self-hating whites who are bleeding hearts for the poor brown victims of war. And then you have a bunch of black Muslims and communists and poo faces. They're not your friends, folks. They're just trying to push their own version of imperialism, right? Like Iran. Iran just wants to spread its own imperialism, its own Shiite religion, and they feud with the fucking Sunnis for control and influence, right? They don't even get along with each other. These fucking, like, Baathist secular Arabs, they feud with the Shiite religious Iranians just the same. I mean, fucking Saddam Hussein invaded Iran. Saddam Hussein was the Baathist secular dictatorship, and he hated Iran because they were a Shiite theocracy. A rival. And even the Baathists rival against each other and fight each other, man. What else do we got here? Putin assures the win in Ukraine in front of a "for a world without Nazism" sign. President held a rally in Moscow on Friday, reiterating his public stance for why his country invaded Ukraine and promising a victory in the conflict, standing in front of a sign that read, "For a world without Nazism." He spoke to thousands of Russians in the Luzhniki Stadium about Ukraine was enacting a genocide against Russian speakers in the country. "We know what we need to do, how to do it, and what cost, and we will absolutely accomplish our plans," right? Oh, but it's just 4D Cheskoy. He doesn't really mean a world without Nazism, and he doesn't really mean that Nazism is just white nationalism or nationalism of various white people in Eastern Europe. It's all make-believe, folks. It's all an illusion. He's just pretending, okay? Trust the plan. He doesn't believe it. He's secretly on your side, okay, man? He's secretly going to establish the white empire. He's secretly going to take down the deep state and Zog and the Jews. And he's going to invade the World Economic Forum headquarters and take down Klaus Schwab despite being friends with him before. He's going to save the world, ladies and gentlemen. Trust the plan. Operation Trust. These dummies who say that, like, his rhetoric on the Nazi thing is just propaganda. He doesn't really, you know, believe in it. There's nothing behind it, right? I've pointed out before that there's pure ideology behind it. says, why Vladimir Putin will keep playing the Jewish card in Ukraine. This is from 2014. And I've mentioned this before. Says, President Putin even cited the destruction of Orthodox churches and synagogues as a reason for the continued presence of Russian troops in Crimea. On Russian television, the language has been crude. The leaders of the new regime are all Nazis. The West either ignores this out of blindness and naivety or has knowingly allied itself with Nazis in a campaign to weaken Russia. In a television interview, writer and journalist Alexander Prokhanov warned darkly, I'm especially astonished by the Jewish organizations that support this Maidan. Don't they understand that they are helping bring a second Holocaust? A Kremlin-backed organization named World Without Nazism, headed by Russian Jewish mini oligarch Boris Spiegel, has been a vocal participant in the campaign. In early February, its head met with former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych in a show of solidarity for his embattled presidency. Spiegel, a former member of the Russian parliament, urged Yanukovych to stand tall against the forces of extremism and neo-Nazism that were demonstrating on the streets of Kiev. World Without Nazism's website's full of articles about the specter of Ukrainian neo-Nazism has no content on neo-Nazism in Russia. Chabad-run Federation of Jewish Communities of Russia has voiced a more sophisticated version of World Without Nazism's position. The goal of the Kremlin's campaign is to weaken public support for the Ukrainian Revolution in the United States by playing the Jewish card and conjuring up images of pogroms. Yeah. Like I said before, this guy, Boris Spiegel, he's the one behind Putin's ideology of anti-Nazism. He's the one behind it. He created that NGO, World Without Nazism. This big fat little Jew boy right here. This guy actually was recently arrested in Russia for bribery. I guess he was too corrupt. Even for Putin, he was too corrupt. But this guy has been peddling his influence for a long time. The guy wrote this article for my website a long time ago. This was in 2018. And he talks about Spiegel's intrigues in Eastern Europe. Says Spiegel's useful idiots are very active in Finland and Estonia, openly denying those countries sovereignty and promoting Russian imperial objectives. In March 2009, the WWN affiliate organization Finnish Anti-Fascist Committee staged a protest in Helsinki against the Estonian embassy's seminar about Stalin's forced removal of thousands from the Baltic states. Brandishing Russian flags, other participants at the protest include dozens of members of the Russian Nashi Youth Organization, founded with links to the Kremlin. The pro-Russian Estonian Nachnoi Dazor movement, initially founded to prevent removal of Soviet statues and symbols in Estonia and attacks its opponents as Nazis, and 10 members of the Finnish Islamic Party, an Islamist political party, led by self-admitted KGB agent and Muslim convert Abdul Atami. The Bolshevik Revolution was social progress, according to Savka. So there it is, Islamo-Eurasianism. You have an alliance between Russian anti-fascist linked to Boris Spiegel and Muslims in Finland. They're trying to lecture the Finns. Don't you dare take down those Soviet statues. Don't you dare decommunize your country. Right? And Putin thinks decommunizing is de-Russifying. He thinks it's the same, basically the same thing. Johann Bachmann SAFCA leader Johan Bachmann co-founded WWN and serves as a governing board member, has become notorious in Finland for his aggressive pro-Russian activism, frequently accusing various politicians, journalists, and academics who don't tell the Kremlin line as Russophobes and anti-Semites. He became notorious in Finland for his pro-Soviet historiography, which denigrated the Finnish war against the Soviets in the 1940s as a racist effort to create a greater Finland and ethnically cleanse Russians in collaboration with Hitler. Even though he openly engages in such anti-Finnish activities, unhindered, one pro-Kremlin propaganda source claimed he was persecuted in Finland. Oblivious to the treatment of dissidents in Putin's Russia, this traitor completely ignores the discrimination faced by his fellow Finns under Russian occupation in Karelia. Bachmann has uttered such absurd statements as Stalin was very gentle and sweet and has denied the sovereign existence of Estonia and Latvia, condemning their efforts to repudiate the Soviet era as an apartheid that represents criminal discrimination of Russians, dismissed the Soviet occupation as a Nazi myth. He wants anti-Soviet dissent in Estonia criminalized. In my opinion, speaking or writing of Soviet occupation should be criminalized. As a form of racist propaganda, I demand 5 years in prison sentence to anyone who dares to say Estonia was occupied by the Soviet Union. He's been barred and expelled from both Estonia and Moldova for such subversive activities. With friends like these folks, who the hell needs enemies? Tell me these people are our friends? These fucking dickheads are our friends. His activities connect him directly to the Kremlin. He is the Northern European representative of the Russian Institute of Strategic Studies, an organization staffed by former Russian intelligence officers, which is funded by the Foreign Intelligence Service and Presidential Administration of Russia. Bachmann was a member of the Elections Observer delegation of notorious pro-Russian political figures that rubber-stamped Russia's annexation of Crimea, even while he labeled the Majdan Revolution an illegal seizure of power. He's the Finnish representative of the separatist Donetsk People's Republic, warning the separatists against two Finnish journalists who claim were agents of the USA and Ukraine. He's recruited Finnish fighters for the separatists under the cover of travel to Donbass and ski training. He established a Nova Russian embassy in Helsinki. He has ties to Alexander Dugin, who often visited Helsinki at his invitation, and he has in turn been promoted as an authority by Dugin's Geopolitica. Much like Bachmann's links to Spiegel, Dugin has his own links with hardcore Zionist Avigdor Eshkin, and has claimed that both Jews and Russians are chosen peoples. Certainly a useful idiot like Bachmann is only too willing to agree and sell out his own people and nation in the process. Yep, they want to subjugate you folks. They want to control you. They want to criminalize nationalism in Eastern Europe. They want to criminalize criticism of the Soviet Union and of Stalin and of his rape horde armies. In fact, that has happened inside Russia itself. Putin has made it illegal to criticize the Soviet war effort in World War II, to question Stalinism, to even investigate Stalin. Actually, let me pull that up right now. This Russian historian was... looking into Stalin's mass graves. And he was charged. They cooked up a case against him. Russia jails historian who uncovered Stalin mass graves for 13 years. Russian court sentenced historian helped uncover Stalin-era mass graves, 13 years in prison. Abruptly increasing his sentence by 10 years. Yeah, they tried to like fabricate something against him, claiming he was a pedophile or something. I mean, it's just the usual tactics, right? They do all the same things with the Russian opposition leaders. They try to catch him in like little sting operations or just accuse them of being pedophiles and shit like that. But yeah, questioning Stalin, that's a no-go, Goy. You can't do that. How dare you? It's neo-Soviet, right? Neo-Soviet ideology. China's getting in on the grift, man. China says Ukraine's neo-Nazi Azov battalion helped Hong Kong protesters. Chinese propaganda outlet Global Times elevated the Russian government's claims that its invasion is to denazify the country, accusing the Azov battalion militants of involvement in the 2019 anti-communist protests. Yeah. This is like the new boogeyman for these powers, right? The Azov Battalion, they're behind everything, man. They're everywhere in every country, and they're fomenting revolution in China and Russia. The Nazis are under every nook and cranny, folks. They're going all in with this fucking nonsense. Yeah. A couple more articles to look at, and we'll look at the super chats. So it says the EU votes to sanction Poland as it struggles with 1.5 million refugees. What a total stab in the back this is, right? So the EU has been trying to guilt trip those countries into taking brown refugees. They rejected those refugees. And now Poland has taken in 1.5 million white Ukrainian refugees, and the EU is still going after them, still harassing them. The parliament voted to put economic sanctions on Poland as the country struggles with refugees. It says, as Poland reels from this influx of new arrivals, struggling financially to accommodate them, the European Parliament voted overwhelmingly to put sanctions on both Hungary and Poland. 478 MEPs voted in favor. It says, Parliament declared it is now high time for European Commission to react with ongoing violations of the rule of law in some EU member states as pose a danger to the EU's financial interests. The EU will deprive Poland and Hungary of billions of euros in funds, claiming they have seized political control over the media and judiciary. Yeah, so this is like clearly demonstrating the problem with the EU, right? Is that it's this bureaucratic nightmare. It's these people in Brussels that are unaccountable people in Brussels who have this agenda, who have these bullshit, shit-lib ideas and values. And they try to force it on all the member states, right? And if you go against what they want, they punish you. Well, fine. I mean, Poland and Hungary just take the sanctions. Just, you know, you get cut off from some of the gibs, some of the funds, and say, fuck off. Go fuck yourselves, right? Yeah, that's the problem. A better geopolitical bloc would be one where there wasn't such powers, right? Well, you could have like an alliance or like a group, but that didn't have the power to like discriminate based on certain internal politics. Didn't have the power to enforce things on the countries in a broad-based way. You know, it was more decentralized. That's the only way you can do an alliance like that, because the problem is if somebody gets in and hijacks it at the very top, as they've done here, they can cause you some major fucking problems. So those Visegrad countries, Hungary, Poland, Czech, Slovakia, I've said before, they need to form their own bloc. Well, they kind of have. They have formed their own alliance to some extent called the Visegrad Group, but they should align also with the Baltic countries, with Ukraine, maybe some of the Balkans countries, and form this intermarium bloc. At that point, they could even leave the EU, and then they'd have this other bloc that would pool their resources together, pool their military resources together as well. Could be an alternative to NATO as well. Because, of course, the people on the top of NATO are pushing the same gay, woke bullshit. Israel says it must open doors and hearts to Jewish Ukrainian refugees. The PM vows he'll not repeat the mistakes made with previous immigration waves. Yes, only the Jewish Ukrainians. Oh, they're so generous and welcoming, aren't they? Israel must open its hearts and doors to Jewish Ukrainian refugees fleeing Ukraine. Yep. Yeah, they don't want to take in any goyim. That would ruin their little ethnostate. They don't even want white non-Jews in their country. Yeah, they're loving this. I mean, all these Jews just left Ukraine. They're all going to Israel. This boosts the Jewish birth rates in Israel. It boosts the Jewish population numbers in Israel. This is what they've wanted. These Zionists, like Bennett, this Bennett guy is a hardcore Zionist fanatic. So he wants these Jews to go to Israel, just like Netanyahu. He was always calling for Jews to go to Israel and gather. And so this war is actually kind of doing that. All these fucking Russian Jews are going to Israel, especially these oligarch Russian Jews. All these Ukrainian Jews are going to Israel. This might be the exodus. This might be the ingathering. The end days. They just need all the American Jews to go to Israel. This is probably, you know, beneficial to both Ukraine and Russia at the end of the day to have all these Jews leave their countries and go to Israel, right? Why don't they all go to Israel? Why don't all the American Jews go to Israel? You know? Get out of our hair, Shlomo. Go be with your people. Quit messing around with us. Quit trying to use us and manipulate us and do all these evil policies that benefit you, but not us. That's not going to happen anytime soon. This video here is pretty funny. It's got Salvini. He's the populist politician from Italy. And Salvini used to be a Dugantard. He used to be a Duganist. Let me just briefly pull up the article that proved that. The guy who wrote on my website, he wrote an article about this. Where was it? Yeah, this is it right here. So this the same guy that wrote the other article on Spiegel wrote this article too in 2017 for my website. Let's pull it up here. What's going on? What's going on? Why aren't you loading? This just ain't right. Anyway, while that's loading, well, there it is. Yeah, this is it. So this was him with a Putin shirt. He was supporting Catalonian independence. This is Salvini. He had a Russian oligarch named Alexei Komarov spoke at Lega Nord's Congress in 2013. He was a big Putinist, big Putin shill. He met Putin. He met Dugin. Katahan, this guy in Italy, Lombardia, Russia, he wrote this thing for Katahan, Dugin's think tank, as they were trying to break up Italy, because Lega Nord used to be a separatist party, and so they're trying to break up Italy. They were supporting Catalonian separatism in Spain to break up Spain, and this all fit within that kind of Duginite framework of smashing up these European countries so that they're weaker. Right. Oh, separatism for ye, for thee, but not for us. Right. But Salvini had a change of heart recently. By the way, this guy Komarov, he's the same guy that was linked to Charles Bosman. Charles Bosman, the guy who runs Russia Insider, was begging this guy for money. It came out in emails. I covered this in the last stream, and Charles Bosman is linked to TRS and the National Justice Party. He let them use his barn on his property to have their first meeting.
In 2014, Matteo Salvini supported Putin's annexation of Crimea from Ukraine. In 2017, his Liga party signed a cooperation agreement with Putin's United Russia party. Putin's and Salvini's parties are brothers since then. In 2018, he called for the European Union to lift all sanctions on Russia, including allowing it to return to the G8. Salvini wore a t-shirt with Putin's face on it while being inside the European Parliament. He also wore a shirt saying, "No sanctions to Russia." He even visited Moscow and displayed the same t-shirt while tweeting from the Red Square. Rumors that he also gave Putin a blowjob have not been confirmed yet. The question is, how much was he paid by Russia? In 2019, an Italian newspaper released audio recordings from a secret meeting in Moscow discussing about Russia selling oil to an Italian company and through that deal funneling 3 million euros to Salvini's political party pocket. When Matteo Salvini visited a Polish...
Well. It's a lot of cash, folks. See, these are political prostitutes, right? These are kind of fringe-type parties in Europe. These separatist parties like the Lega Nord, and he changed his stance later and dropped the separatism thing. But they were just, basically what they do is they just do this ass-kissing routine for like China and Russia in the hopes that they'll get some funding, some money, right? It's all just a grift for cash. And sometimes they do get some cash. Sometimes they don't, right? Depends on how useful they are at the time. But, this idea that, like, there's no influence there, there's nothing going on.
When Matteo Salvini visited a Polish town near the border with Ukraine yesterday, the mayor presented the Italian far-right leader with a Vladimir Putin t-shirt of the type he was once pictured wearing in Moscow and in the European Parliament.
Salviniego... Mam tutaj pewien prezent, z którym chciałbym, żebyśmy wspólnie, panie senatorze, pojechali na granicę i doszli do uchodźców, żeby zobaczyć, co twój przyjaciel Putin zrobił.
Salvini's getting trolled, dude.
co osoba, którą określa pan jako swojego przyjaciela, zrobiła i co tak naprawdę zrobiła tym ludziom, którzy tutaj w ilości 50 tysięcy dziennie przekracza granicę. Prosiłbym, żebyśmy wspólnie pojechali, właśnie pojedziemy za nas do ośrodka dla uchodźców, pojedziemy na granicę, jeżeli będzie pan z tej granicy. Zapraszam, panie senatorze. No, let's check for you. Thank you.
You have a chance to condemn Putin, right?
No.
This is
Yeah, he's sucking up to Trump. I mean, these people are grifters, right? These people are grifters. All right, folks, I'm going to go check on those super chats. If you want to send one, just look in the description box on Odyssey there, and I'll get to those in 1 second. Give me a minute, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for waiting, man. Let's check out these little super chats right here, and then we're going to end out the stream, and then you guys can enjoy your little weekend right there. We got a message from Foodie. Says, I requested to have you debate Ryan Dawson. You will destroy him. I first saw you interview Christopher John Bierkness. Would you have him on again? I think I will be debating Ryan Dawson, the Redskin Ryan, as they call him, right? The little mutt boy, global cosmopolitan. He's got his fingers in every pie, doesn't he? I think I will be debating him on a show. Christopher John Bjerknes, I don't know, man. I mean, I haven't been in contact with him for a while. We had a falling out a while ago because over some issues that we didn't agree on. I don't know what he's up to these days. Appreciate that, man. Eric Drave says, have you read Valhalla Express, the story of the activist of Ukrainian nationalist movement who has gone through street clashes and might into military operations in the Eastern Front against Russian aggression, written by someone in Azov? It'd be fascinating to get your review, especially while it's still relevant, stay white. Well, I appreciate that question and comment there, Eric. I haven't read that. If you can send it to me, I'll definitely have a look at that book. Certainly is relevant today, isn't it? We got Peter. Peter says, it's really sad to see all these people in the dissident right cheering for the destruction of Europe instead of a neutral stance. They've become a talking piece for Russia. Well, yes, because they... it's just a collection of malcontents. It's like they're using it as some kind of bludgeon against their own governments or something. It's like they're just going to go out and cheerlead for this just to piss off their own governments or counter signal their own governments. Or it's just a mixture of nihilism, like they want to bring the world down and they want more war. It's like this accelerationist kind of LARP, right? It's like these are people who want everything to be destroyed. These are people who would gladly, welcome a nuke being dropped on their own country because they dislike it so much. They dislike the state of affairs. And the culture has degraded and it's become decadent, and they're just stewing in it. Like, instead of doing something positive, doing something to, push back in the other direction through activism, through outreach in your own community. That's not what these people on the internet do. They don't do any of that. They're not trying to make it better. They don't want to make their own countries better. They just want it to go down and down and down. And so anything that's chaotic, they find is a boon to their nihilistic wet dreams, right? If their own country was invaded by a horde of Muslim armies, they would probably cheer it on. They would probably support it. They would probably submit to the Muslims, right? They'd say, oh, it's better than what we have now. Islamic rule is based in shit, man. That's where a lot of these people are at. It is pure demoralization, just like Yuri Bezmenov talked about. I think we're witnessing exactly that. Like, there's plenty to be upset and pissed off with our own governments, our own system, our own media about, but it's our job to fix it. It's our job to make the change. It's our job to build something better. And just hoping and praying and wishing for some outside force to come in and save you is a laughable pipe dream. It won't happen. And you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy, your mental output on a fucking wet dream that will never come to pass. So it's like, why bother? And if you're just going to be a propagandist for that side, then go over there. Like, if you think it's so much better, if you think Putin's like the best thing out there now, or the least worst thing out there now, then go fucking join his military and go get yourself blown up for Islamo-Eurasianism. Go join those Chechen Muslim orcs. Go join the LARP. Like, get out there. What are you doing on the internet? What are you doing on 4chan? The armchair keyboard warrior. Waste of time. Go move to these countries. If you think they're better, then go live there, right? Go embrace paradise. A lot of communists did that during the Soviet days, the Soviet Union, and they got a rude awakening, didn't they? They headed over to the workers' paradise. It's a dream come true. The workers' paradise has finally arrived. They go over there. They get fucking kidnapped and put in a gulag. They're breaking those rocks. Yeah. And I've even said, like Eastern Europe and Russia, like all of those countries just in general have less shit liberty in those countries for whatever reason. It's the biggest reason is probably that religion is still, a force in those countries, whereas in Western Europe and America and Canada, religion has really died off and they've become very secularized societies. And those countries are secular too. Those countries don't have theocratic governments, but let's just say there's more religion in those countries being practiced and being propagated. And some of those politicians, including Putin, have, allowed their religion to come out. So it's really just the religious influence that affects some of the social issues there and attitudes, right? They just haven't they haven't been attacked the same way we have, like in Western Europe and America, Canada. It's like the whole university systems in these countries have been infiltrated and taken over by these radical Marxist and radical leftists. We're being attacked, right? We've been invaded and attacked for so many years, and our governments have been infiltrated. So we're the main white people in our countries. We're the main victims of our own systems. But yeah, you can't be a white nationalist in Russia. You cannot be. You'll face more extreme suppression. I mean, it's getting really bad in the West. It's getting really fucking hasty over here in the West with hate speech laws and extremism, and you know, they're really going after white nationalists for sure. But that's been going on in Russia for years. Russian white nationalists have been arrested, fined, chased out of the country, exiled, killed, like Tesak. It's really no better. It's the only thing that you can say is better is just the general climate against homosexuals. That's about it. So even Hungary, even places like Hungary and Poland is like, they're better on that issue too, but they also have Holocaust denial laws. They also have hate speech laws in those countries. So like there, people have been charged with Holocaust denial in Hungary and Poland. People have been charged with hate speech for criticizing Jews. There was a story in Poland recently that, these Polish nationalists got charged for hate speech. They had a rally where they condemned Jews, or like burned a Talmud or something like that, and they got charged. Let me see that. Yeah, these guys were arrested. Said someone chanted death to Jews at a Polish rally. These guys were arrested. Doesn't say it in this article, I don't think, but yeah, I mean, this is the case. Those countries aren't perfect either. They got problems. But yeah, submitting to nihilism, submitting to this black-pilled ideology, that's what drives a lot of this Q-tardism and this radical extreme contrarianism of just taking the opposite stance of whatever they deem to be mainstream, and just kind of more absurdist, like, conspiratorial positions that, like, everything's fake, nothing's real. I mean, these people are living in a fucking fantasy world, dude. Total fantasy world. All right, folks, I appreciate y'all tuning in on this White Power Friday stream. Thank you very much. Well, I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're working out. I hope you're hitting that gym. I hope you're dodging the vax. Keep up the good work, folks. Keep fighting that good fight, and I'll catch you on Monday, ladies and gentlemen. White fucking power. Have a good one. Yeah.